This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
Well, we weren't necessarily expecting a 16-0 season to challenge Don Shula's 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins team.
Some people were.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you always had those people that.
I mean, there
you
were people
think
that
about
were,
that sort of thing.
There were people that were legitimately upset about this loss. I mean, good grief! I saw some people like whacking their cars with their Ravens poncho, going "Stupid Ravens."
Yeah, I saw that too. Reading the comments on Facebook, John Harbaugh is the worst coach ever. Joe Flacco's got to go, hon. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, hold on, time out. Say what you want about the discipline and everything, but Joe Flacco is not why you lost this game.
These are the same people that are calling for Buck Showalter to be fired, considering the fact, based off of the premise, that as soon as he gets fired, they'll win a World Series next year.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, when we look at the 28-27 loss for the Baltimore Ravens against the Oakland Raiders at home.
Not your older brother's Oakland Raiders, by the way. They're actually really supposed to be good this year.
No, absolutely. You're right on that. You mean you got Derek Carr, you got Latavius Murray, who in his first season as a starter got 1,000 yards rushing and averaged 4 yards a carry. You also have Michael Crabtree up there for the Oakland Raiders, who's your seasoned veteran. You got Amari Cooper, who is your Alabama standout first rounder. You got a pretty damn good team over there in Oakland out west, and they could be the Las Vegas Raiders soon and could be the highest grossing team when it's all said and done. But I'll tell you what, if the Oakland Raiders do go to Las Vegas 2 or 3 years from now, well, let's just say they certainly cashed their chips in on the Baltimore Ravens and the Baltimore Ravens' mistakes.
Cute.
On both offense and special teams, especially special teams. Let's talk about that first. Looking at Ravens special teams and looking at the penalties that were committed, of course, the one that bothers me more than anything is the block in the back penalties, because it kills your return. You have one of the greatest return men of the 21st century, at least the early part of the 21st century, in Devin Hester.
Yeah, the 21st century is still young, folks.
I know. And yet his 25-yard, 30-yard returns are negated by a block in the back.
I just realized something. We're about to enter the roaring 20s.
We are. Wow, you're absolutely right. I didn't realize that. It'll be 2020 soon, and soon we'll be getting eyeglass jokes.
Yeah, we'll all have clear vision. But yes, Devin Hester, his returns negated by block in the back penalties. You don't need a block in the back for Devin Hester.
No.
That's not necessary.
I'll tell you what, one thing you do need to do when you're on special teams, and on special teams defense, mind you, is to not interfere with a kick returner, especially when the ball is getting fair called at the opponent's 2-yard line, Kamar Aiken. And yeah, we'll be bringing up Kamar Aiken a little bit more in the show. But yeah, unfortunately, when you look at this loss here, looking at the stats for the Ravens here, they really are statistics that speak more of a winning team more than a team that lost by 1 point. I mean, total yards. Ravens outgained Oakland 412 to 261. On first downs, the Ravens got 25, the Oakland Raiders 13. Time of possession, Ravens 34 minutes, 44 seconds. Raiders 25 minutes, 16 seconds. Let's see here. Passing yards, Ravens 282, Raiders 199. Rushing, Ravens 130, Raiders 62. Penalties, 12 penalties for the Raiders, 93 yards. Ravens penalties, 10 penalties for 105 yards. Am I missing something here? What can we pinpoint this loss on for the Baltimore Ravens? Because the only thing I'm thinking of is maybe they were undisciplined at the wrong place at the wrong time? Question mark? Maybe drop passes? Maybe pass interference calls on the offense for the Baltimore Ravens cost them some drives? I mean, I know Kamar Aiken was one guy.
You're going to be harping on him all show, aren't you?
I have to.
So you would just so who do we pinpoint this loss on, folks? According to Josh Hall, one Kamar Aiken.
All right. Well, what do you think though? I mean, let's look at it this way. He had a return interference call that, of course, pushed the drive from the 2-3 yard line up into the mid 10s, the 20 yard line. Also, you had an offensive pass interference call on him, and Also, Kamar Aiken in that game, when he got that pass, was a 22-yard pass, which, of course, got called back for that penalty. So he cost himself some yards. And on the last play of the game, on a crucial play, on fourth down, when the Ravens needed it, when they needed that first down to continue the game, the one guy Joe Flacco saw was Kamar Aiken. Now, in Kamar Aiken's defense, I will say this, he had three guys on him, and he was put in a bad spot. But at the same time, when the replay showed, it showed that Kamar Aiken had the ball right in his chest area, and there was nothing he could do about it. So, yeah, we won't bring up Kamar Aiken anymore after that. Good thing, though, for the Baltimore Ravens, and I think this is something to at least point out in a one-point loss, especially at home, they might have found their starting running back for the remainder of the season in one Towson standout, Terrence West, who in this game just was on fire. 21 carries, 113 yards rushing, and one touchdown, averaged 5.4 yards per carry. If there isn't a better time for the running game to get started, it's at least this early in the season, especially when you're a quarter of the way through the season. And unfortunately, with Terrence West looking like your RB1 and Kenneth Dixon about to come off the injured list and be your second running back.
Poor Justin Forsett.
Justin Forsett is unfortunately no longer with the Baltimore Ravens organization, which leads me to believe, how do we look at his time in Baltimore? Is it just one of those flash-in-the-pan stories we got to talk about here?
Yeah, he'll be a flash-in-the-pan. He'll be the guy that replaced Ray Rice for 1 year for a very good period. Then the next season, not so good. And then this year, yeah, he's pretty much replaced by just about everybody.
Well, another good thing to talk about, Steve Smith Sr., 8 catches, 111 yards, one touchdown, including a long pass of 52 yards. And he was seen on 11 targets there. Mike Wallace, 4 catches, 44 yards. Rashad Perriman, 3 catches, 24 yards. Dennis Pitta, not as productive as the previous week's 3 catches, 17 yards. But the good news is you're seeing the ball actually spread out to Ravens receivers and Ravens tight ends now. So it's not just a Steve Smith Sr. show anymore. It's also Kyle Juszczyk, Mike Wallace, Perriman, Pitta, Gilmore, you name it. Those guys are going to catch the ball. So now we move on to defense, and this is where things get a little tricky. The Ravens had no sacks on Derek Carr, who just lit up the defense, not in terms of yards, but in terms of scoring plays, for 4 touchdowns, and 3 of them went to Michael Crabtree, who, if you recall, back in Super Bowl 47, was the Ravens' Achilles heel in the second half, right after the delayed electricity, whatever happened in Notre Dame.
That just about everybody was convinced that Roger Goodell turned the lights off.
In New Orleans, yeah. And that was just an unfortunate set of circumstances.
Yeah, because they were running away with that game big time. And then the lights go out, the momentum shifts, and you're thinking to yourself, well, this game got a lot more interesting than people would think about it. But yeah, at the end of the day, it ended up in the Ravens' favor. And Michael Crabtree, thorn in the side for the Baltimore Ravens, but it didn't come to pass. Now, this game, though, it's a different story.
Yep, this game now, you have an older, wiser Michael Crabtree. Yep, you don't have the young buck from 2012 or the guy that Richard Sherman mouthed off to in the NFC title game in 2013. No, you have a more wiser leading receiver in Michael Crabtree, who is helping a young guy like Amari Cooper up through the league and making him just as good as he is, if not better. And that's a deadly combination right there, especially for a team coming out west to coming out the east. And one more thing I saw from the Ravens defense, of course, was the lack of playmaking. Of course, we didn't see many interception picks. We didn't see many forced fumble plays, no sacks, no big pass rushing moments on the quarterback that made Derek Carr run out of bounds or throw the ball out quick. Basically, when you look at the Ravens offensive line, Raiders offensive line, the Ravens offensive line made Joe Flacco look pedestrian. And maybe it was because Ronnie Stanley wasn't in the game due to injury, and you had to rely on James Hurst to man the left tackle spot. And oh my God, Khalil Mack just made James Hurst look like Swiss cheese out there. I mean, Hurst could not get a block on anybody. Joe had no time to throw the ball or even look down the field. And that's why I said, if you're going to blame Joe Flacco for that loss, you really need to re-examine football and how offensive lines and receivers and timing works, because Joe Flacco in that game had no offensive line and he definitely had no timing. So that was week four, and now we're moving on to week five. And good news, the Baltimore Ravens are still at home at M&T Bank, but the bad news is there's a team that's coming off of two straight wins in the Washington Redskins. A team that many critics were saying, oh, well, Kirk Cousins, he's not as good as he was last year. You like that? Yeah, he done like that for sure. Well, nope, not anymore. Now you got Kirk Cousins coming in. You got Jordan Reed, who, by the way, Ray, quickest tight end to get to 200 receptions by any by that position in NFL history. So you got to deal with that situation as well. What else could we look forward to in this game in Week 5 when they come to M&T Bank?
Well, you got to be on the lookout for one DeSean Jackson, obviously. And, you know, Garcon is also a threat for the Washington Redskins. Jordan Reed, as you mentioned, is their biggest threat on offense, along with the Kirk Cousins, who can really light it up once in a while. And this isn't going to be a defensive matchup either, folks.
By the way, one thing on Jordan Reed. In the four games that I have watched in terms of replays, previews, reviews, everything else, I have yet to see a linebacking core that can cover Jordan Reed effectively in his short time as a starting tight end in the NFL. So that's definitely going to be a test for Terrell Suggs and C.J. Mosley for sure.
Although, you know what could make this interesting, though?
What's that?
Steve Smith Sr. versus Josh Norman.
That's right. Forgot all about that little mini rivalry there. Back in Carolina Panthers training camp, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get some headlines out of that for sure. Do you think there's going to be any animosity between other teammates and other opposing teammates before this game?
There's going to be some marquee Queensbury rules being thrown around once in a while. There's going to be a little bit of scrums. The referees are going to have to break up. It could be this could be a penalty fest there, folks, because... Yeah, the Redskins and the Ravens going against each other, a hostile crowd, a very pissed-off crowd because of what happened with the Orioles and what could have been a major, major event for the city of Baltimore between an Oriole playoff game and a Ravens game against the Redskins. That would have been very interesting on a Sunday, but that did not come to pass. So now you've got the one game with the Ravens and the Redskins, and I do believe that it's going to be a hostile environment on Sunday.
I will wager you a dollar that in the pregame interviews that Joe Flacco and Kirk Cousins are going to have nice things to say about each other.
Oh, they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. They're not going to have any animosity. No, of course not. If you recall, Kirk Cousins was his first action in the NFL he saw against the Ravens in 2012 when he filled in for an injured Robert Griffin III. And led the Washington Redskins to a game-tying play in the fourth quarter, and of course went into overtime and ended up beating the Ravens out at FedEx Field. So now it's a totally new year. It's a totally new quarterback in Kirk Cousins. He's not that rookie anymore coming out of Michigan State.
And the job is his. He no longer has to worry about competing with Robert.
All right, so let's go to predictions here. Actually, let me ask you with the predictions. How do you see this game turning out? What do you think will be the biggest play made? And who do you think wins?
31-23, Redskins.
Really? And are you saying this based off past history between the Ravens and the Redskins here?
I'm just saying it just because the Washington's got the momentum right now. Baltimore just came off a loss against Oakland, you know, coming away from a hostile environment themselves. And it's going to be interesting to see. I believe that I mentioned DeSean Jackson. I think there actually could be a little bit of a hookup between Cousins and DeSean Jackson to where he burns them.
Does Jordan Reed play a factor?
Jordan Reed will play a factor the entire game. He will make those linebackers dream.
Will the Redskins' running game play a factor?
I don't think so, no.
No, yeah, Ravens run defense pretty stout. I will say this. Because we've been predicting high-scoring games and everything else, I think it's going to be 17-14 Ravens. I think the offenses, both offenses, will give 295 fans some fits for sure. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be one of those games that is decided by a touchdown, nothing more, nothing less.